We're looking together at Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And we've come tonight to the section which begins at verse 49. In the verses that we're looking at tonight, we're going to be thinking about three things that the Lord Jesus saw in the future. Three things that the Lord Jesus knew lay ahead for him and for the world. The great theme that's run through this whole chapter has been the day of judgment, the day when the Lord Jesus himself will return to judge the world. It will be a day when all the secrets of our lives and our hearts will be exposed. Jesus says in chapter 12, verse 2, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. There's going to be a day of judgment, and on that day, all your secrets are going to be out in the open. God has kept a record of everything you have done, of everything you have said, even of the secret thoughts of your mind. And on that day of judgment, it will all be brought out into the open. God is going to judge every man, every woman, every child. And there will be no secrets then. The Lord Jesus talks about the huge consequences of that judgment. He says in verse 5, I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, on that day of judgment, there will be many men, women, young people, children who will be cast into hell, into the outer darkness, into the fire that burns forever. There will be those who will hear the terrible words, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That is what is at stake on the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus tells us what will determine our fate on the day of judgment. Verse 8, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. On that great day of judgment, when the angels will be the witnesses, on that day, the great question will be this: do you belong to the Lord Jesus? Did you acknowledge him here in this world? Did you believe in him? Did you trust him? Did you serve him? Did you obey him? Did you confess him as your Lord and Savior before others? Jesus says, everyone who has acknowledged me here in this world will be safe on the day of judgment. But the person who disowned, the person who turned away from the Lord Jesus here in this world, will be rejected on that dreadful day. Jesus warns his hearers that they must be ready for the day of judgment. He uses a whole series of pictures to show how vital, how urgent it is that we should prepare ourselves for the day of judgment. In verse 35 and the verses that follow, Jesus talks about himself as the master who will return and who will judge his servants. They must be ready for his return. They must make their preparations in advance. It's vitally important that when Jesus returns to judge the world, that you shouldn't be caught off guard. Jesus says he's going to come like a thief. And for those who aren't ready, it'll mean disaster. He's going to judge everyone when he returns. But there's a special warning he gives to those who have called themselves his servants. They above all must be ready when he returns. They must be ready for the day of judgment. Jesus uses that parable of the different servants in a household with different responsibilities. And he says, it's those who have greatest responsibility. It's those who have been given the greatest privileges. It's they who will be judged most rigorously on that day of judgment. And it's they who will face the most dire consequences if they have proved unfaithful. Jesus says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. There's going to be an accounting. And many of you here tonight who would say that you are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, on that day you're going to have to give account of how you've used everything he's given you, how you've used your time, how you've used your gifts, how you've used your opportunities, how you've used the positions in which he's put you. You are going to give account. And from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. There is going to be a great day of judgment, and every one of us is going to stand before the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to descend from heaven. He's going to come with the clouds of heaven. He's going to come with a great army of angels. He's going to come in glory and majesty, and every eye will see him. You will. And you will stand before his judgment throne, and all the secrets of your heart will be exposed, and the record of your life, you will give account for it. There may be some of you here who know that you're not ready. I'd urge you, before you sleep tonight, just to sit and let your mind dwell on what that day will be like, of what it'll be like to see the heavens opening, to see Jesus descending, what it will mean for you to hear all your secrets brought out into the open. How will you stand on that day? That is the great theme of the chapter, the great day of judgment that will come at the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 49, the verse we come to tonight, Jesus uses a new picture to describe that day of judgment. Jesus says in verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. That was the first thing that Jesus saw ahead. He saw the day when the fire of God's judgment will sweep across the earth. This was a picture that would have been familiar to all of Jesus' hearers. We read at the beginning of our service one of the Old Testament Psalms. We could have read many others, but we read one Old Testament Psalm about the day of judgment, about the day when the Lord appears. And how does the psalmist describe that day? The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice, clouds and thick darkness surround him, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. The day when the Lord appears is described as the day when he comes with fire breaking out before him. The fire that melts the mountains like wax. The fire that burns up his enemies. John the Baptist spoke about the work that the Lord Jesus would do. We thought about those verses when we looked at Luke's Gospel chapter 3. John said, I baptize with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He baptizes his people with the Holy Spirit. He drenches them with the Holy Spirit in order to purify them. But he baptizes the world with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's the picture that John the Baptist used of the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, comes to gather in the harvest. He gathers in his own people, but then he burns up the chaff. Godless people, people who live without God, people who are unsaved, in the end they'll be like chaff, worthless, just to be burned up. And the Lord Jesus, on the day of his return, will burn them up. They'll be consumed by the blazing fire of judgment, of the anger of the living God. That is the way in which the Lord Jesus will cleanse this world. You think of this world, a world of rottenness, a world of corruption, a world of cruelty and crime, a world where people do horrible, godless things. How is this world going to be purified? It's going to be purified by the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to be purified by the fire of judgment, which will burn up the chaff. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The fire of God's judgment was to fall upon Jerusalem and Israel within 40 years. In the year 70 AD, Jesus the Messiah brought the fire of God's judgment against that nation. But there's to be a great, much greater outpouring of fire at the end of history, when the Lord Jesus comes again and he baptizes the world with fire. If you want a picture of what the day of judgment will be. Then imagine one great fire sweeping across the whole globe. And you'll be standing there. In that day, there'll only be one place of safety, one place where you can be protected, and that is in the Lord Jesus himself. Oh, can you without Jesus Christ, can you face the fire of God's anger that's going to burn across the world on that day, that's going to melt down the whole universe? Peter tells us in his second letter that that fire will burn so hot that it will melt the whole universe. Can you stand then? That's the first thing Jesus saw ahead. He saw that great and terrible day when he would bring fire on the earth. And Jesus says, how I wish it were already kindled. How did Jesus feel as he thought about the day of judgment? As he thought about that day when he would pour out fire across the world? He looked forward to it. He longed for it. How I wish it were kindled, he says. How I wish that already I could start that fire burning. Why? Is it that the Lord Jesus loves the thought of sinners being cast into the fire? No, but Jesus longs for a world set made clean. Jesus longs for a world that's pure at last. Jesus looked around him while he was here on earth, and he hated what he saw around him. He hated to see the corruption and the greed and the pride and the injustice and the cruelty and the filthiness of this world. He hated to see the nation in which he lived, Israel, in the hands of corrupt, selfish, hypocritical, godless men. And Jesus longed for the day when he would cleanse this world, when he will cleanse this world. Did you notice again in that psalm that we read at the beginning of the service? Did you notice the note of joy that runs through the psalm? The psalmist talks about the coming of the Lord in fire. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes. And then does the psalmist say, so weep over this? Weep over that prospect. No, the psalmist says, Zion hears and rejoices. And the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O God. Have you ever thought about how God feels as he looks upon this world and its rottenness and the things that are done behind closed doors, the things that are done in the darkness? How does God feel about this world? Read in Genesis chapter 6 of God's feelings as he looked down on the world. And it says it hurt him. It grieved him to his heart as he saw the wickedness, the violence of the world. It says that he wished he had never made the world. Can you imagine God feeling that sort of pain as he looks down at his world, as he sees it spoiled, as he sees it ruined? Jesus says, I'm longing for the day when I'll be able to burn up all the rubbish. I'm longing for the day when I'll be able to burn this whole world clean, when at last it'll be pure again. How does God feel when he looks into your heart? How does the Lord Jesus feel when he sees what's in your heart? When he sees the selfishness? The meanness, the lust. How does he feel? He hates those things. Oh, he hates them so much. He hates everything that's impure. He can't abide it. If you want to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven, you're going to have to be made pure. If you don't want to be burned up by the fire on that day, you're going to have the Holy Spirit burning in your heart now, making you pure. Either you must be baptized in his Holy Spirit now, or you must be baptized with fire when he comes again. Either Jesus must make your heart clean now, or there'll be no place for you in the new clean world that he's coming to bring. Jesus says, I'm longing for a clean world. Will you be ready for that clean world when Jesus comes again? Has your heart been cleansed now? Has the Holy Spirit himself come to break the power of sin in your heart? Has he come to you to give you a love for God? Have you been made clean? Have you been baptized, flooded by the Spirit of God? That's the first thing Jesus saw in the future. The first thing he saw ahead, the day of judgment, when he would flood the world with fire. But then the second thing that the Lord Jesus saw in the future, he saw his own baptism of suffering. I, he says, have a baptism to undergo. Yes, on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to baptize the world with fire. But Jesus had a baptism that lay ahead for himself. A baptism of suffering. The baptism of death. On the day when he returns again, he's going to overwhelm the world with a great tide of flame. But the Lord Jesus knew that first he himself must be overwhelmed by the tide of God's judgment, by the tide of suffering. The only way in which the Lord Jesus could protect his people on the last day, the only way he could shield them from the great baptism of fire, was by undergoing it himself. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus was overwhelmed with the flood of God's wrath. He was overwhelmed with a flood of agony and pain. He drowned in the tidal wave of God's judgment. Again, it's language that would have been so familiar to his hearers, who knew the Old Testament, who knew the Psalms. Here's the psalmist. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. says the psalmist, he's overwhelmed with a tidal wave of sorrow, a tidal wave of pain. All God's waves, all God's breakers have swept over him. Here's another of the psalmists. My soul is full of trouble. My life draws near the grave. You've put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. I've suffered your terrors. I'm in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They've completely engulfed me. And now Jesus says, I'm going to undergo that baptism. The flood tide of God's wrath is going to sweep over me. I'm going to experience those terrors as the God of heaven crushes me, as he casts me into the lowest depths, as he hurls me into the darkness, as he punishes me for the sins of my people. And Jesus says, how distressed I am until that baptism is completed. Oh, it says Jesus, I wish it were over. Because the thought of that is with me all the time. Day after day, as Jesus walked through this world, he felt in his heart that dreadful realization. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through the flood of God's judgment. I'm going to experience those terrors. I'm going to go into the darkness. When Jesus was sitting with friends over a meal table, that thought is there. He can't escape from it. When he's sitting at a banquet, when he's walking on the hills, when he's on the boat in the lake, always the thought is with him. There's a cross ahead of him. And on that cross he knows that God's judgment is going to break out against him. How distressed I am, he says, until it's completed. Some of you perhaps know in a tiny measure what the Lord Jesus means. Something. There's something that lies ahead for you. Something you dread. Maybe it's just your final exam. And you can't get it out of your mind. It's always there. You may be with friends, laughing and smiling, but it's there, just a shadow at the back of your mind. You may be watching a film, but it's still there, niggling away at the back of your mind. You wake up in the morning, and for a moment you're happy, and then suddenly it floods back into your mind. You know it's getting closer. That's Jesus as he walked through this world. Always the thought of the cross before him. How distressed I am, he says, until it's completed. Let me say it again. There was only one way in which the Lord Jesus could make his people safe from the baptism of fire that's to come upon the world. And that was by going through that baptism of suffering himself. And then the third thing that the Lord Jesus saw ahead of him. He saw division. Division within the world. Division that would reach even into families. Jesus says, verse 51, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They'll be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus is looking to that whole time between the cross and his return, between his baptism, the baptism of suffering, and the baptism that's to come upon the world. He's thinking of the gospel age in which we live. And he says that throughout this gospel age, his message will divide men and women one from another. All through this gospel age, people will hear his word. And some will respond in obedience, in faith, and some will turn away, unmoved, or rejecting his word. And so there will come that great division. It's reached into some of your families, hasn't it? So painful. So painful when you see a family divided down the middle. Believing parents and children unsaved. Or believing children and parents unsaved. Believing a believing brother and his sister unsaved. A believing sister and her brother unsaved. Jesus Christ is coming again. And there's going to be a great judgment then. And then people will be divided. The saved and the lost. But that division is happening now. It's happening as the gospel is preached. It's now that people are being divided from one from another. What happens on the day of judgment is only the seal on what is happening in history now. In this congregation now. Tonight this congregation is divided. There are some of you who are saved and there are some of you who are lost. And on the day of judgment, that division is going to become evident and it's going to become final. Why aren't you preparing? Those of you who are unsaved, why aren't you preparing now for the day of judgment? Why aren't you making it your most urgent concern? Why aren't you seeking Jesus Christ, the only Saviour, with all your heart? Jesus says to the people in this crowd, in verse 54, "You look out to predict the weather that lies ahead. and you can read the weather signs. If you see a cloud rising in the west, you say it's going to rain. And you take steps. You carry your umbrella with you. Or you notice that the south wind is blowing, and you say, well, it's going to be scorching hot tomorrow. So you get out your sunshade and your sunglasses. You can predict the weather from the signs around you. Why can't you read this certainty? Jesus Christ is coming again. There's going to be a judgment day. You're concerned about what happens tomorrow. The weather. Why aren't you concerned about that? The one great certainty. Jesus Christ is coming again. God commands all men everywhere to repent. For he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he's appointed. And he has given evidence of this to all men by raising him from the dead. What more signs do you want to prove that Jesus Christ is going to come again to judge? He's been raised from the dead as he said he would be. You know, if you knew you were going to stand before an earthly judge in an earthly court, you would get ready. That's what Jesus says in verse 57 onwards. He says, if you knew that you were going to be prosecuted, that there was somebody who was going to drag you into court, and you were going to have to stand and face judgment in court, you would do everything you could. You'd be negotiating with your adversary, trying to get him to drop the case. The last thing you'd want would be to be dragged before the judge, who would then hand you over to the officers of the prison, who would throw you into a prison cell. You'd think it was a major crisis if you faced being taken to court next week. You're going to stand in God's court. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why aren't you getting ready? Why aren't you making your peace with God now? Why aren't you turning away from your sins, whatever they may be, pleading with Jesus Christ to break the power of those sins? There is a way you can be safe on the day of judgment. Because Jesus Christ went through that baptism of pain at Calvary, you can be safe. When he sets loose the baptism of fire that's going to engulf the world, you can be safe if you're sheltered by him. Won't you put yourself under his protection tonight? Won't you look to the Lord Jesus to be your saviour tonight? It's as simple as that, you know. We're not telling you to do something complicated. We're not telling you to go through some mysterious, magical procedure. We're not telling you to make yourself into something. We're not telling you to create some new feelings within yourself. We're just telling you, put yourself in Jesus' hands. Put yourself under his protection. Go to him. And let him save you. Let him make you safe. My children know what it is to run to me if they feel they need protecting. You know, if we were crossing a field in the Lake District, and a bull suddenly appeared on the other side of the field, snorting and heading in our direction, they would rush to me, my children. They'd gather around me. They'd expect me to protect them. I'm not sure I'd be capable of doing it. But they'd come to me. They know what it is to look to someone for protection. Won't you just do that to the Lord Jesus? Won't you put yourself under his protection? Chicks run to the mother hen for protection. They don't have to be clever. They don't have to have some profound understanding. They just run to the mother hen when they know they're in danger. Won't you just go to the Lord Jesus? Won't you let him protect you tonight? Safety nowhere else. But you can go to the Lord Jesus and you can be safe in him.